Hi, my name is Tommy Almodovar, and today we're talking about El Registro de Esclavos de Puerto Rico. Today's object comes from Manati, a municipality in Puerto Rico. Signed in 1871, this document speaks of a time of sugar, slavery, and culture. El Registro de Esclavos de Puerto Rico, or Slave Register from Puerto Rico, is a form that was used to document slaves. This system came as a response to the 1870 law granting freedom to certain slaves. Shortly after, in 1873, slavery was abolished in Puerto Rico. While it was not used for very long, this system reveals much about Puerto Rico's past history and culture, as well as the current issues affecting Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rican diaspora. Before coming into contact with Spain, Puerto Rico was home to the Taino. Christopher Columbus, on his second voyage, claimed Puerto Rico for Spain in 1493. Spain's conquest of Puerto Rico for gold wiped out many of the Taino through slavery and disease. When the low Taino population presented a threat to Spain's profits, slaves from the Atlantic slave trade began to be used as a labor source. Eventually, Puerto Rico's gold mines dried out and the colony became less important to Spain. Until the 19th century, Puerto Ricans showed little resistance to Spanish rule because Spain's resources were important to Puerto Rico's survival and development. As other colonies fought for independence, Puerto Rico remained primarily passive. Subsequently, the Royal Decree of Graces of 1815 was passed, granting Puerto Rico and Cuba the ability to trade with foreign countries in good standing with Spain. This decree also granted free land to new settlers as an incentive for Spaniards to relocate. With a new surge of incoming settlers, sugar and coffee became Puerto Rico's main exports. The rise of sugar and coffee plantations in 19th century Puerto Rico affected the lives of its citizens in two distinct ways. Some embraced Spanish rule and colonialism. They believed this connection was essential to civilizing Puerto Rico. Others decided to rebel. This revolution was born out of frustration with the crown, with issues like the abolition of slavery and autonomy. This tension was further complicated by race and color issues. While there were many new settlers from Spain, the first settlers did not bring women with them. The children that Spanish settlers fathered with Taino women were called mestizos. Because skin color was also important, having light skin was akin to having Spanish ancestry, while having dark skin resulted in enslavement and harsh oppression. These differences inspired rebellions that the crown could not ignore, and so they responded with the 1870 Rights to Freedom. The short period between this law and the abolition of slavery saw a mixture of nationalist, anti-imperialist, anti-slavery, and racist ideologies. El Registro de Esclavos de Puerto Rico serves as a reminder of the cruel treatment of humans at a time where color and race determined status and power. On the left side of the registers, descriptions of a slave were reported. Slaves were reduced to descriptions of just their physical features. However, the main function of the document was to legitimize proprietorship by naming the slave owner on the right side, along with descriptions of a slave's origin. At the bottom of the right side is information regarding the slave's parents and children. The slave owner and commissary would also sign their signatures in this area. What angered many Puerto Ricans was that, although slavery had become illegal, production of sugar increased. Puerto Rico became rebellious in the search for autonomy for these reasons. One such uprising was El Grito de Yares, or the Cry of Lares, which occurred in 1868. Similar rebellions produced male suffrage and an autonomous charter in 1897. However, contemporary Puerto Rico was born from the aftermath of the Spanish-American War in 1898, when the United States annexed Cuba and Puerto Rico. The U.S. had similar economic interests in Puerto Rico as the Spanish, so the island was given Commonwealth status. Many Puerto Ricans welcomed annexation in order to eliminate Spanish rule. However, elites who approved of Western European influences posed an obstacle to this new alliance. Again, race and color continued to complicate these issues. In their book, Empires in World History, Burbank and Cooper write, "Even today, people in Pacific Islands, New Caledonia in relation to France, or Caribbean ones, Puerto Rico in relation to the United States, and elsewhere, weigh the advantages or disadvantages of disassociating themselves from larger units." Just as Puerto Rico grapples with its autonomy, even those who do not want to give up Commonwealth status are split in their sentiments about Puerto Rico becoming a state. A bigger issue in contemporary Puerto Rico, and a product of a past relationship with Spain, is an identity crisis. Technological advances in transportation resulted in an increase in the number of Puerto Ricans living in the States. This growing diaspora has been subject to discrimination both in the States and from native Puerto Ricans. In the book Puerto Ricans in the United States, we read that identity of those in the diaspora represents another layer of complexity in an already sensitive and controversial national debate. In addition to racial and color issues that are still prevalent today, issues with language are also present between native Puerto Ricans and U.S. Puerto Ricans. While Spanish is an official language in Puerto Rico, Puerto Ricans in the United States do not always learn the language, prompting discrimination from natives. For natives, being born in Puerto Rico is essential to having Puerto Rican identity, and for those who are born in or live permanently in the United States are subject to prejudice. In short, the Puerto Rican diaspora is beleaguered by poverty and discrimination, and also culturally and linguistically deficient, according to native Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rico is home to many political, economic, and social issues that have persisted since Spanish colonization. However, it is important to recognize that being Spanish or Puerto Rican now relies on cultural hybridity, which began in 1493. The growing cultural crossover between Puerto Rico and the United States is an example of how being Puerto Rican is dependent on more than a person's birthplace. In the same way, race and color issues created by Spanish ideologies influenced life in Puerto Rico after the Spanish-American War, there exists a divide in opinion when it comes to United States influence. That's why it is important to look at past events and documents like El Registro de Esclavos. To unravel today's issues, we need to look back and remind ourselves of why they were initially conceived.